we'll have a doubly special church council.
Good morning, church. Welcome on this beautiful Sunday as we worship and celebrate all that God has given us. A few announcements before we get started. Please don't forget, today there's a town hall right after worship. Cake and lunch will be provided. The trustees are providing hot dogs, and we'll be taking a free will offering for our camp scholarship fund. So if you'd be willing to throw a few bucks in the plate for that, we would certainly appreciate that, as we're hoping to send another year of sending a high amount of kids to camp because it's such an important ministry of our church. And also, please make note, we're going to explain this in much further detail at our town hall, but on July 14th, 2 weeks from now, we will have a special church council to make some decisions about the church roof and the parsonage roof. Again, we'll go into further detail. I don't want to spend too much time repeating myself during town hall, and that will be explained to you. There will be no brown bag and big ideas on Monday. I will be unavailable. Lloyd will be out of state, and John will be out of country, so we don't have a pastor to lead that. and a lot of people have busy schedules, but we will reconvene next week on next Monday, and we will hopefully have a sunny Monday one of these Mondays. CEC and VBS planning will take place on July 9th. VBS planning will start at 6 p.m. We moved that back a week just to make sure we weren't interrupting 4th of July weeks, which can get very busy. Next Sunday, July 7th, kids are invited to bring their toys for children's chat. And after worship, we will have snacks and games for the kids from 11:40 to 12:45. We encourage parents who are interested in staying afterwards to bring a lounge chair, outdoor chair, and you can kind of watch as the kids play games, and it's been a lot of fun so far, and we look forward to another month of fun. And always, just a reminder, Food on the Fly is going to be around the corner before you know it. July 10th, 4:30 to 6, so we're hoping to go from 80 to 100 meals this time. Our committee has done a good job stepping up each and every month, and we look forward to another opportunity to serve. And our card party will be on Monday, July 8th. Does anybody else have any other announcements to share? All right, before we stand and greet one another, we're going to go through our birthdays and anniversaries for June. So our anniversaries this month, we celebrated Tom and Jean Ann Baker, Dave and Janet Jenkins, Ron and Missy Martin. For our birthdays, we celebrated Jackie Pasquinelli, too much peanut butter in my mouth right now. Cheryl Caudry, Tammy Eichel, Martha Dalcoma, Janet West, and Rick Swallow. Let us please stand and sing the Moravian birthday hymn as we celebrate all our birthdays and anniversaries. Let us greet one another. Good morning, Alicia. Good morning, Angie. You may remain standing as we join together for our watchword of the week. Our watchword this week comes from the 5th chapter of Galatians, the 25th verse. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Amen. You may be seated.
Please rise for the call to worship.
Let us set the Lord always before us.
In the shade of God, wherein you we take refuge.
You will fill us with your goodness in the midst of your presence.
Our hearts are glad, and our tongues will always shout of your good deeds.
Let us join together to sing, O Jesus, I have promised.
please turn to the liturgy, which can be found on page 139. His steadfast love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever.
Praise the Lord.
The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live upon it. Let all people everywhere know that the supreme God has power over the human kingdom and that he can give it to anyone he chooses, even to the least important. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Happy is the nation who God is the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory.
For the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness.
The mindful blessing of this land.
We worship you with grateful hearts.
We confess that in many ways we have turned aside from your commandments, and it is because of your steadfast love that we are not consumed. You offer us mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against you and have not obeyed your command to walk in your laws, which you have set before us.
Lord, have mercy on us and blot out our transgressions.
We pray, Lord, that you will guide and bless all who are in places of authority, protect them from violence, and fill the hearts of the people with respect and love for them, because you have established their authority. Raise up for us leaders who will carry out all your purpose, and in patience and courage will depend on you.
Save your people and bless your heritage.
Make of this nation an instrument for the promotion of peace, freedom, and righteousness. May it be a haven for the oppressed or other lands, a home of happiness for all who dwell within its borders, and may our commitment to liberty and justice for all be preserved for the generations to come.
Hear us, gracious Lord and God.
Guide us and our leaders through the spirit of Christ's love as we struggle with matters of teaching and learning, home and family, health and security, work and justice. Turn the hearts of all people to you, that they may seek eternal life through Jesus Christ, who redeems us and our world.
Hear us, gracious Lord and God.
Grant wisdom to those who are the family of faith. Enable us to accept the authority of government for your sake, ready for every good work, abstaining from every form of evil, and paying to all whatever is due them. As citizens of this nation, may we bring credit to our Savior in all we do.
Hear us, gracious Lord and God.
Grant to the people of this and all other lands a love of peace and order, that the nations shall learn war no more. Hasten the day when the kingdom of the world shall become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever.
Hear us, gracious Lord and God. Amen.
Please stand.
Turn our hearts and our minds to a time of offering and a time of serving God. As we listen to our message and our gospel in a few short moments, we will hear a message that tells us to dedicate our hearts, to fix them upon Christ. Because when we are fixed upon Christ, our anxieties, our stress, and our worries, and our burdens all decrease, and our peace, our joy, our comfort, and our love all increase. Let us give to God wholeheartedly.
Please rise.
Pray together. Holy Spirit,
help us share from your bountiful fruits of the Spirit with our community. May we share love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control with all of our neighbors. Amen.
You may be seated. Let's turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer and reflection. In our prayers, we remember friends of Rick Swallow, Darren McMillan, who is fighting cancer, Marnie Lehi, who is having back surgery for an infection. Or she had a back surgery infection? Is that what that was? Okay. Please keep Marnie in prayer as they kind of discern what the next steps will be for her. A thank you from Audrey Hun and the Hun family for all the prayers and support as she literally got back on her feet. So we celebrate that. Also, Harley's birthday this past weekend was a wonderful joy and celebration. For Willie Gardner, Linda Karch's father, who was hospitalized at Altman on Friday. Yeah.
I just got a text from one of my boys, and
he's
being discharged later today.
Okay. Well, praise God for that. Yeah. Active prayer right there. But yeah, we definitely keep Willie in prayer as he's been going through, I know, a lot of different health issues and kind of, for sure. We'll be discerning what his next steps are, and may prayer and support surround your family at this time. For our Convo kids, they left on Tuesday to go to the Virgin Islands for a Convo trip that is about education, mission, and community. We're excited for the number of kids we have there. We ask that you specifically hold in prayer our kids from the Valley, Pastor John Wallace, Hannah Payton, Libby Payton, Ellen Stingle, and Jessica Leishman. They are having a great time, I'm sure, and we'll be excited to hear about how their trip was when they get back. Please hold in prayer Captain Brian Dalton of Sugar Creek. He was stabbed in the line of duty on Wednesday during a traffic stop. He has been released from the hospital this weekend, but continued prayer for him and for the Sugar Creek staff and for all of our police officers who put themselves in harm's way for us. Some wonderful news to share. Timothy Naseby was ordained yesterday at Central Moravian Church in Bethlehem. He is on his way right now to serving Unionville, Michigan. So we look forward to having Timothy in the Mid-States, and it was a wonderful celebration as he takes his next step in ministry. And also, one of our sons of our congregation will be taking another big step in ministry, the Reverend Jay Petrella. He will be consecrated a presbyter on July 20th at Morningstar Moravian in Coopersburg, Pennsylvania. Bishop Blair Couch will preside. For those of you, that terminology might sound a little unfamiliar, but a presbyter is somebody, you get consecrated, you get ordained a deacon. That's kind of your beginning stage as a minister. And when you become a presbyter, you decide that this is a lifelong commitment that you want to make, that you've seen ministry, you've seen all the joys, you've seen all the challenges, and you want to fully commit your entire life to serving God. So we definitely celebrate with Jay and his family as he makes another wonderful step. For this 4th of July celebration that we have coming up this week, that every family gets another day to rest and reflect, that celebrations are safe, those who are traveling at a distance to be with family have safe travels, and we celebrate the independence and freedom that each one of us have been blessed with, especially as Moravians. So much of our history has been spent in oppression, dealing with governments that always haven't supported our religious freedom. So to live in a country that does support our ability to worship God is truly a blessing. Let's take a moment in silence and invite God into this time of prayer. Gracious God, we are so thankful for the return of sunshine, for the reminder that summer is here, that we are fully engulfed in the changing seasons and changing world around us. Help us to be present to these small moments, because we know inside of every day you are turning little miracles, reminding us of the beauty of this creation and the beauty of this world. But today, God, we pray for those who are struggling to see the beauty in the world right now, for those who are sick, hungry, depressed, struggling, lonely. Help them to know that they are not alone in their battles, that you, God, are with them. You, God, will see them through everything. And we pray especially for Captain Brian Dalton, for Darren McMillan, Marnie Lehi, Audrey Hahn, Willie Gardner. May they all feel your presence, and especially the difficult and vulnerable moments that we all experience. And as we open our ears and our hearts to the words that you inspire within us today, help us to be the people that bring the fruit of the Spirit to the world with the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, and the gentleness. May they all be signs that we are children of God. And may we never take ourselves too seriously, but be seriously invested in the ministry of Jesus Christ with faith, hope, and love for all people in all places. In your gracious name we pray. Amen.
Our first scripture lesson comes from Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 25, and can be found on page 826. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, adultery and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature, its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit.
Thank you, Alicia. Our gospel today comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 9th chapter, verses 51 to 62. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me go and bury my Father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. This time I invite the children to come forward for the children's chat. Come on up. Yeah, feel free. Sit down. Make yourself comfortable. Jacob, could I borrow you as a road map for me? Come on up. So we're going to talk about, in our message today, Jesus is on a journey to a special place. Does anybody know what that place is? Nick? Jerusalem. So Nick, or Jacob, excuse me, come here. Confusing my voice. You want to stand right here, and you are going to be the road map to Jerusalem. And you're going to lead me right to Jesus. Rick, can you lift Jesus up for me right there, right next to you? He's sitting there waiting for me to come and visit him. All right, there we go. There's Jesus bobbling and waving. So now, you are my people on the home front. And I need each of you to take a different object. So who wants a football, a palm branch, Aaron Rodgers, ice cream cones? Who wants to hold these for me? Paige, Nick, you want to hold two of them? So, now, I got a question for you. As I'm thinking about this journey to Jerusalem, where do I need to go? Where does the roadmap tell me I need to go? Now, the important thing to remember, you guys can stay put here, because I need to make this journey as a disciple of Jesus, is that it's easy to get distracted and waited along the road to a trip, because I'm on my way to Jerusalem, but you know what? I forgot something. Jerusalem is a huge city. It's a big city. You know what you got to do before you go to a big city? You got to pump some iron. You got to feel big. You got to feel strong. It's a big city. It's a scary little city. So, where was that going again? Jerusalem. Where is Jerusalem? It's that way. Okay. So, like I was saying, I'm on this road to Jerusalem to share God's love, to spread God's love, and I realized something about Jerusalem. It is a warm climate. You know, it's 105 degrees today in Jerusalem. So, you know what I need before I really head to Jerusalem? Is I need a palm branch to keep myself nice and cool. And you know what? What's good on a warm day? Who's my ice cream cones? Oh, maybe we should make some ice cream cones. Do we have time for ice cream? No. Where was that going again?
Jerusalem.
What way is Jerusalem? That way. Okay. And you know, the one thing that I really struggle with when I take trips is I get really anxious. I get so scared and I get so worried. So I need to use my stress ball that Madison gave me before I go on my trip so I can feel less anxious and more comfortable about where I'm going. But where am I going? And who am I going to visit? Okay. All right. Now, I got this stuff. I swear I'm ready to go to Jerusalem right about now. But you know what? The one thing when you think about going on a trip or a journey or getting to a destination is you start to get nostalgic about what you leave behind. And you know, before I head to Jerusalem, I really should play football with my friends one last time. Don't you think that's an important thing to do before I go? So, Nick, will you throw me a pass? All right. Tyler? There we go. You can throw me the pass. And you know what? I don't think there are a ton of Green Bay Packer fans in Jerusalem, so maybe I should bring Jesus and the Green Bay Packers to Jerusalem. What do you think? But where was I headed again? And who was I going to visit? All right. So after doing all this, I'm finally going to head to Jerusalem to visit Jesus. And so our lesson today, I want you all to walk with me. Because guess what? When I try to carry all this stuff with me, all this stuff that's important stuff, right? Like you'd want to play football with your friends, your ice cream, you'd want to stay cool. But guess what? I can't make the trip to Jesus by carrying all this stuff. So I got to lay it down. And what does my number one goal have to be in life? It's got to be that right there, right? It's got to be following Jesus on the path to Jerusalem. Because when we get here, when we get to where Jesus is in our life, all that other stuff becomes a lot less important. And we find out all that stuff that we thought we needed, all that pile of stuff that was very important in our brain, isn't as important. Because what's the most important thing in our life? Jesus. All right. Great job. We're going to head back up. We're going to journey back. We worked to Jerusalem. We're heading back home. We're going to share pictures with families and put it on Facebook. And what we're going to do now is we're going to do a joyful noise offering for our Vacation Bible School. So you want to go ahead and grab that. So instead of doing a second mile offering this year, we decided, because we're still raising money for VBS, we would do a joyful noise offering instead of a second mile offering this month. So if you'd be willing to support that, we'd greatly appreciate that. Raise your hand if you haven't had a chance to put anything in the can. Getting a good workout today. There you go, Todd. Mr. Brandon, thank you, sir. All right, anybody else? All right, let's go ahead and bring our cans back. Thank you, kids, very much. You're going to help our very important Vacation Bible School. Now let's get in our circle and let's have a moment of prayer. Let us pray together. Oh, you're good. You want to grab a hand? Let us pray. Gracious God, we are so grateful for these kids, for the wonderful laughter and joy that they bring to our congregation. Help them always to stay fixed upon Jesus. Because we know that there can be many distractions and many ways to get lost in this life. But if you, Christ, are in our lives, you make our world better, peaceful, and more joyful. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. So go ahead and grab a Smarties. Oh, sorry. All right. You may remain seated as we join together in song. Gracious God, open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to the words that you inspire today. Help us to turn these words into actions and to be the hands and feet that you need us to be in this present world. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. So before I work into our sermon today, I want to show you, just to remind you, what we started out. This is what we consider the last Sunday of the month. We've been doing some of the Q&A sermons, where we've had our ushers come down and have you fill out some responses to some questions. So we decided to shake things up and do it a little differently, so this way people could see all the responses to what people have wrote. So we're hoping that this will be something people get more comfortable. So get used to, on the last Sunday of the month, you're probably going to see a whiteboard right out there in the narthex with a question for you, with the opportunity to respond. And as we get more comfortable with that, hopefully we'll get some more responses that we can share with each other. But this will be one of the questions that will have to do with our sermon, and we'll integrate, and you'll see more of this as the message digresses. But as we look at God's word today, I want to start by sharing a little story. Because I once knew a man who at 20, he said, "God, I'm ready to be your disciple, but just let me find a wife first." At 25, he said, "I'm ready to be your disciple, but just let me start a family first." At 30, he said, "I'm ready, but just let me put a roof over my family's head first." At 40, he said, "I'm ready, but just let me get the kids out of the house first." At 50, he said, "I'm ready, but just let me get healthy first and take care of my parents." At 60, he said, "I'm really ready, but just let me get retired first, and then I can focus all my time, energy, and effort on you, God." At 75, he said, "I'm ready, but just let me take care of my wife first." At 90, he said, "I'm ready, but just let me sell my house first and simplify things." At 100, he said he was finally ready with no distractions. But on that day, he had no days left to serve God. And when we think about that story, I'm sure we can all relate to that person, how easy it is to push things off in the future and to wait for that perfect day where there are no distractions, nothing sitting in front of us. And this is a gospel message for those of us who come away from a church meeting or a church service, and we come away really excited, and we just have this bubble that is just full of energy and hope and enthusiasm. But then we get a case of the yeah buts. The yeah buts. Yeah, but that, I have this really great idea about how we can serve the homeless in our church. Yeah, but that costs money. And, oh, wait. Somebody might disagree with me in the church on this idea. And before you know it, that idea that you were so passionate, so enthusiastic about, so caring about, is kind of deflated. That bubble kind of bursts, because you become your worst own enemy, thinking of all the ways that that's not the perfect idea. Because in this passage laid out for us in the Gospel of Luke, we do not get the hallmark Jesus. This is a passage where Jesus challenges us to our very core as disciples. Every single request those would-be disciples made to Jesus was fairly reasonable. Every request. Every single request of the man that I told you about as I started this message was reasonable. Any of us would say those are fairly good things to do in your life. And it's easy to empathize, with the disciples who said, "I need time to bury my father or to say goodbye to my family." Who wouldn't? As a pastor, I would yell at somebody if they didn't take the time to do those things. But when we think about it, as we integrate our children's chat, it's easy to come up with reasonable, good excuses of why we can't serve God. And this is what our question that I wanted you to meditate on this week. What are the top excuses for not making God a priority in your life? When you think about your own journey to Jerusalem, your own journey with Jesus, some of you may have some that are not on the board. If you ever see an idea and it's something you agree with it, feel free to underline it as a point of emphasis so we know that multiple people are thinking about it. But one of the top reasons I put fear of scarcity is something I talk about in my household. I'm always that person that has to make sure there's enough in the savings account, that there's enough in these other resources, because I'm always scared of that 1 month where the tires explode, where the roof caves in, and everything else that could possibly be bad in your life happens. And I'm the one that wants to be prepared for that, even though there is no possible way to prepare for some of that crazy stuff that happens in your life. And I'm always the one, there's never enough, because I got to be prepared for that day. And you know something I've learned throughout my journey just these past couple of years, talking about the past year where Emily and I spent about a month and a half in New York City with her dad in the hospital, and literally spending $100 a day to go from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania to New York City to park at the hospital, to pay for the tolls on the roadway, to eat in New York City, to do all these things. That was one of my great fears. Just driving in New York City, for goodness sake, was a fear of mine. And there I was sitting on the George Washington Bridge, driving like this, shaking from lane to lane, but I found a way to do it. And you know what I found? In one of those months where some of the worst case scenarios were happening in my life, I was calm and I was peaceful. Because God was providing, God was taking care of those things, God was not letting that fear cripple me. And I think about, especially the financial aspect of that, where it was just scary because you weren't sure. We're 1 year into having full-time jobs. Emily was on the brink of about starting a full-time job. And it was amazing, all the little people who helped us out along the way, who were willing to say, I see you're struggling and I'm going to help you too. So it wasn't just us going through that struggle, it was a community supporting us with prayer, with hope, and with all these other resources. So it turns out my fear of scarcity is not a very good excuse. Another one, not enough time. I think that's a reasonable one. Who here can relate to that one? There's just not enough time in the day to do some of the things that I want to do. I think that's easy, especially with how scheduled out our lives are, 24/7. If you have a night where you don't have something going on, you almost want to force yourself on the couch to sit and relax. And there's nothing wrong with taking a relaxing moment. But just make sure you're making space for God too. That you're penciling your time for mission, your time for prayer, your time for scripture. Because it has to be a priority in your life or it doesn't get done. It can't be something you hope to get into the week. It has to be something you pencil in and say, I'm committed to that. And I think this is also a very important one. What would other people think? I think we're all driven by that question more than we realize. What would people think about me? Because when it comes to sharing our faith, we're always scared to be the Jehovah's Witness knocking on the door or the crazy person on the corner with the megaphone kind of mentality. That's kind of the wrong mentality we have. As Moravians, as Christians, there are other ways to evangelize with people. And a lot of that has to do with how you act towards people, how you treat people, small acts of kindness. We're going to get into the seven fruits of the Spirit. But one of the litmus tests for that question is when you're scared about what other people would think about you, you should ask yourself, could people tell I am a Christian just by the way I act in my work, in my school, in my places around me? Or would that be something I would have to explain to them? Because your actions should show it. People should be like, oh yeah, I would expect her to be a Christian because she's nice and she does all these wonderful things for me, instead of being judgmental or other things. And the fear of failure, I think that's a big one that we all struggle with. We're all scared that even if I jump out, even if I join Jesus on his journey to Jerusalem, even if I talk to a friend about something that makes me uncomfortable, anxious, or awkward, what if I end up failing anyways? I think we can all be crippled by the fear of failure. And there's so many of us who let that overwhelm us. Because let me give you an example. There's so many people who say no to the opportunity for ministry. I'm not just talking about being a pastor, but going out in mission, in service of your community, helping people, because they can think of everything they're not. I'm not a musician. I'm I'm not an organizer. I'm not a social extrovert. And when you start getting that mentality, it's important to realize that you don't want to be good at 30 different things. It's weird to say it like that, but I remember talking to a pastor who sat down in a meeting, and this board told him, oh, we need you to be a good musician, a good singer, a good financer, a good elder, a good prayer, a good teacher, a good preacher. And they had this list of 30 things, and he's like, you don't want somebody who's good at 30 things. Because you know why? That takes away 30 different opportunities for people in the church who may be good at those different things. And a good leader, a good organizer is somebody who gives people those opportunities, who sees that, hey, Carolyn, you're really good at prayer. Can you pray for us? Doug, you're really good at organizing things. Can you organize it for us? It takes that type of mentality. So when we're scared that we're not good enough, see that as an opportunity to collaborate, to work community into your mission. Because mission shouldn't happen with one person and one heartbeat. It should be an entire group of people with dedicated to mission and dedicated to serving God. And the problem that all of us have when we look at all these issues is that we all have reasonable excuses to say no to God. But we have to reach a point where we put all our chips into the middle of the table and we go all in on God. There has to be a point where excuses can't cripple our enthusiasm for ministry. We have to say out loud that we are serving God no matter how difficult the obstacle or how long the journey is. Serving God has to be priority number one. And the other aspect of this is discernment. So when we're struggling with decisions in our life, how do we come to the right answer when we're thinking about the big decisions in our life? And I think Galatians 5, which Alicia read for you, is a wonderful litmus test. Because Paul tells us, if we are living by the Spirit, we exemplify these qualities. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, generosity, faithfulness, and self-control. So when you think about it, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So think about this passage from Galatians. And I want you to use this passage as a watchword when you are wrestling with a big decision in your life. When you're not sure about a promotion or a job opportunity or if God is calling you to move to a different place. When you're thinking about entering a new relationship with your life or perhaps rekindling a relationship that had been broken. Or that big thing, you want to try something new outside of your comfort zone. Something that challenges you, makes you feel different, makes you step out, makes you be the best person you can be. And I want you to think about those. Think about those 7 traits. And I want you, when you're discerning a big, difficult decision, to put those traits, write them down on your bathroom mirror. Tape them up on there. And ask yourself in this morning when you're thinking about that decision, am I going to take that job? Am I going to be friends with that person? Am I going to take that next step in this life? Look at the 7 fruits of the Spirit and ask yourself, will this decision that I'm going to make in my life, will it make me more kind and generous? Will this decision that I'm thinking about, will it bring me closer to God? Will this decision make me gentler with my loved ones? And also keep me disciplined in my own life so that I don't fall through the cracks. And think about all those different questions. Because chances are, if you are saying no to any of those questions or multiples of that questions, you're making a decision that will glorify yourself and not glorify God. So the fruits of the Spirit are a good way to defend against that. But I don't want you, when you hear that, to put pressure on yourself that you have to have the perfect answer to difficult situations in our lives. Because in a lot of our dilemmas, there are no perfect answers. Because even when we invite God into our decisions sometimes, we can still make the wrong decision anyways, just because of our human nature. But inviting God into our decisions in our lives is not about having the perfect decision or the perfect life. If you made the perfect decisions or the perfect life, I wouldn't have a job right now, people. So relax a little bit. It's okay to get things wrong. Because it's about making sure that God is never absent from our decisions in our life. That's the big point of emphasis, that God is never absent from our decisions in our lives. And it means telling Christ that our relationship is a priority in the present moment and not just in the distant future. So as you saw me on my own journey to Jerusalem, it was easy to put God aside for so many things in my life. But I finally got to a point where I had to decide that Jesus was going to be a priority. For when God is a part of our life, we can misstep down the wrong path. We can feel utterly lost. We can feel utterly broken. But when we trust God, we know that God will find a way to deliver us out of the darkness and guide us to a place where we can experience more love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control than we ever thought possible. God will take you to that place if you trust in God. And it's not going to be the perfect journey. I guarantee it's not going to be the journey that you picked out. But God will lead you exactly where you need to be. And he will gift you with far more than you ever thought possible. Because when you trust in God, when you put your faith in God, you realize that nothing, and I mean nothing, is impossible with God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are so blessed that you gifted us with the fruits of the Spirit. Help us to share them, because we realize that we exemplify your Spirit when we are best sharing our love, our joy, our peace, our patience, our gentleness, our faithfulness, and our self-control. Help us to see you in those little actions, because it's so easy to be scared by what's in front of us. But every opportunity, you give us the opportunity to be your disciple. And let you, O God, be our number one priority and our number one decision maker in our life. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together to sing, "Join Me All with One Accord." I share our benediction with you, let us join together in grace as we prepare for our town hall and the meal that we will share together. Let us join together to sing, "Be present at our table, Lord." Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.